This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush wants quick election year enactment of a constitutional amendment prohibiting gays from marrying each other, but Republicans in Congress are not rushing to heed his call. Bush argued that same-sex weddings threaten the institution of marriage and thus society, and that actions by several local jurisdictions allowing gay marriage make federal intervention the only recourse. On the day George W. Bush came out in favor of a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, top Senate Republicans said they will begin hearings on the issue next week and could force a vote on the measure in the next few months. Senate Judiciary Chairman Orrin Hatch indicated that the deadline for floor action would not extend for more than a few months. Hatch said he would not allow opponents of the amendment to bury it in the Judiciary Committee indefinitely and vowed to use whatever procedural steps needed to make sure the measure gets to the Senate floor. The United States and Britain created facts where there were no facts in the run-up to last year's war in Iraq, the former head of the United Nations Weapons Inspections Team in the country said in an interview published on Tuesday. Hans Blix, whose teams did not make significant weapons finds during months of searching Iraq before the war, has repeatedly criticized U.S. and British handling of information ahead of the war. Our inspectors had a fixed phraseology. If something was missing, then the official formulation was yet to be established. Blix was quoted as saying by the German weekly Stern, but the Americans and British persistently read exists, so they created facts where there were no facts. Theresa Hines Carey says U.S. will one day accept gay marriage. I think with time and without a lot of politicization of this, we'll get there, said Hines Carey, who is on a three-day campaign swing through California, which holds its primary next week. I think our country is basically a tolerant country. She said she expected the Bush campaign would use her husband's views on the issue against him in the presidential race. It's a campaign year. What can I say? Hines Carey said. They'll use everything.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Investigators determined that a woman showing a fake identification tag at the Delta Airlines ticket counter had mistakenly been given two packages shipped from an Atlanta medical agency, one containing a pulmonary valve and another package containing a vein intended for a coronary bypass graft surgery. Tabitha Bracken, 27, of Canada, and Dalvin Robinson, 43, of Lockport, New York, were taken into custody after Bracken approached the Delta ticket counter with the packages containing the organs and asked to swap them for those containing 140 pounds of marijuana, the shipment that had brought them to the airport originally.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
These days, any president's budget is an exercise in political posturing and economic gimmickry. But this year's $2.4 trillion offering by George W. is a P.T. Barnum exercise in flimflam, economic voodoo, political whitewash, hog excrement, plutocratic pandering, and outright fraud. Not only does Bush's budget not add up, it pretends that 2 plus 2 equals 22, and that you and I are too stupid to know the difference. Start with the fact that the Bushites admit that they have eaten all of the $240 billion surplus they inherited and will leave us with a $520 billion deficit this year alone. But the debt they're passing on to our children is far worse than that. For, flim-flam, Bush simply excluded from the budget any cost for his ongoing occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan. He says he'll let us know how many gabillions these items will cost us after the November elections. If you went to a bank for a loan with numbers like these, not only would you be summarily rejected, but they'd haul your worthless carcass directly to debtor's prison. The bulk of the debt that Bush is creating is not to cover things that strengthen our country and improve our lives, but merely to cover his giveaway of trillions of dollars from our public treasury to the corporations and millionaires who finance his presidency. Buried down in the line item details of his budget, you'll find that George is financing this massive giveaway to his already fabulously rich supporters by cutting back on firefighters, his own No Child Left Behind Act, high school dropout prevention, heating for low-income seniors, disabled students, veterans' health, modernizing our air controller system, clean water, prevention of children's lead poisoning, low-income child care, and even the Office of Domestic Preparedness, which is key to local anti-terrorism efforts. This is Jim Hightower saying, when Bush budgets, the rich profit and the rest of us pay.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, Rich,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live, coast to coast, border to border. Boy, this just it. In fact, one of the folks in our chat room let me know about it. I just popped open the window in the chat room to drop in there and participate, as I do every day when we're on the air. And one of the folks, I forget who it was now, said, did you hear that Alan Greenspan, in his testimony, this is 37 minutes ago, according to the Associated Press, here's the headline. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan urged Congress on Wednesday, today, this morning, to deal with the country's escalating budget deficit by cutting benefits for future Social Security retirees. Boom. A bomb just dropped. Now, it's interesting because this fits in perfectly with the program that I had planned for today. You have to understand the agenda here. The conservative agenda. The conservative agenda is basically the agenda of feudalism. Let me just back up a little bit. We'll come back to Greenspan. Yesterday, I had a guy on in the second hour who had written a book about Iraq and oil, and he made the comment. You know, I said, "What do you think the solution is?" And he said, "Well, I'm a socialist," and I jumped all over him for that. Said, "You know, well, you know, name one socialist nation." And some of my listeners have sent me some thought-provoking emails on this and comments on the message board, all of which you can find at tomhartman.com, by the way, which is where you can also get the link to our chat room and also where you can get the web stream, which will be radiopower.org with archives at whiterosesociety.org starting on Monday as well. Anyhow, Salvador Allende says Thomas, he hasn't given me permission to use his last name, so I won't. A fellow who one of my correspondents here, Salvador Allende, was the first democratically elected Marxist/socialist national leader in the world, albeit with mere plurality, 37% of the vote. One of those multi-party things, there you go. In 1970, Allende did move to nationalize, or more correctly in many cases, collectivize a number of key industries and turn them over to workers' control and ownership as cooperatives. Now, that's a significant difference from the Soviet style of socialism, which was where the state owned the means of production.
And of course, whether or not it would ever have worked was never demonstrated because the United States went in there, started messing around, and basically fomented this overthrow of Allende. The pieces of which have been made into a Broadway musical, and installed or allowed Augusto Pinochet to overthrow that democratically elected government on September 11th, an interesting date, of 1973. So, where I'm going with this is that I've made a point a number of times that democracy is a political system and capitalism is an economic system. And socialism, depending on your definition, is an economic system or a political system. And the problem is that all of these terms are in flux. Even the founders of America. Here's our quote for the day. This is from Thomas Jefferson. It was in 1803, a letter he wrote to David Williams. I found this a year and a half ago or so as I was reading through Jefferson's letters. I don't know if this has ever been published anywhere else before, other than in the collections of his letters. And he wrote like 17,000 letters. He said, "The greatest evils of populist society have ever appeared to me to spring from the vicious distribution of its members among the occupations called for. I have no doubt that those nations are essentially right which leave this to individual choice as a better guide to an advantageous distribution than any other that could be devised." In other words, you know, how many carpenters do you have? How many blacksmiths do you have? How many, you know, managing the economy, Jefferson says, we should really leave this to individual choice. But then he adds, "But when by a blind concourse particular occupations are ruinously overcharged and others left in want of hands, the sort of situation we have now, for example, the national authorities," Jefferson said in his letter to David Williams in 1803, "the national authorities can do much toward restoring the equilibrium." Thomas Jefferson. So, democracy, if you have pure capitalism operating in an environment of pure democracy, which is a pure democratic republic, let's say, which is in some ways sort of the libertarian ideal, what you will end up with inevitably is a small number of very large and powerful corporate. You'll end up with feudalism. You'll end up with a small number of very large and powerful corporations and a whole lot of very, very poor workers. Because pure capitalism and pure democracy does not allow for a middle class. Instead, the middle class is an artifact. It's an artificial creation. And it's an artificial creation that we in the United States decided that would be a useful thing for us. And so you got back in 1912, that audio clip that I've played so often on this program of Teddy Roosevelt saying, "We need a living wage in America." And then we had the minimum wage, which was actually a really decent wage back when it was passed in the late 1930s, early 1940s. And right up until the early 1960s, the minimum wage you could pretty much live on. And the idea was that the great welfare programs for the middle class, for example, the deductibility of home interest the interest on home mortgages. What is this? This is a subsidy of the middle class. And we all agreed that we want to do this because having a strong middle class is a good thing for democracy. It's a good thing for the United States. And see, the thing that the conservatives will never tell you, but you can find it just, you know, clearly, I mean, when they're speaking to themselves, when you read their writing, you read the Wall Street Journal, it's right there. Greenspan is one of the most outspoken. Is that in the conservative agenda, the middle class doesn't much matter. A friend of mine the other day said, here in Vermont, he said, "I can't figure out why you've got guys who are living on the edge of survival with minimum wage jobs, driving around with Bush-Cheney bumper stickers still on their cars from the last election. And I said, well, because he is, the, you know, the conservative administration is the administration both of extreme wealth and extreme poverty, because that's what they're creating. And that's why they've got this cultural conservative agenda.
Oh, we don't want any of those gays to get married. People should have unfettered access to guns, and on it goes.
The cultural conservative message for those who are basically the minimum wage and the wealth message.
We're going to have tax cuts for all people who pay income taxes.
And anybody who makes more than $89,000 a year realizes that that's code language for we're going to help you out if you make more than $89,000 a year, because up until after $89,000 a year, you don't have to pay any more payroll tax, which is what goes into the Social Security fund. If I make $100,000 a year on that last, you know, $11,000 a year, I don't have to pay any taxes. If I make $1 million a year on that last $910,000 a year, I don't have to pay any taxes in payroll taxes. Whereas some guy working at the gas station down here around the corner for $7.50 an hour, which I believe is the Vermont minimum wage, has to pay a payroll tax. The conservatives will say, all right, he's not paying income tax, therefore he shouldn't get any tax. He's paying a payroll tax.
Well, we're not going to talk about the payroll tax, and we're not going to put that on Rush Limbaugh's website. I'm sorry. No, that's the tax that the middle class and whatever you call the working class pays.
So, anyway, in a future show, I want to get back into these definitions of democracy and capitalism and socialism, and these are concepts that we all need to understand, and how they're evolving and how they're changing. And I want to acknowledge those people who have helped to inform me and on occasion set me straight. Now, Alan Greenspan today said, in testimony before the House Budget Committee, Greenspan, this from Martin Krutzinger, AP economics writer, posted on Yahoo News 37 minutes ago, in testimony before the House Budget Committee this morning, Greenspan said the current deficit situation with a projected red ink of $521 billion this year will worsen dramatically once the baby boom generation starts becoming eligible for Social Security benefits in just 4 years. You see, what's happened is this $521 billion deficit is actually a $700 or $800 billion deficit. But a couple hundred billion dollars this year showed up as a surplus in the Social Security funds. We have been taking in hundreds of billions of dollars a year more from that payroll tax that everybody pays on the first $89,000 of their income than we've been spending out. And this administration has been taking that surplus in the Social Security Trust Fund because they didn't do what Al Gore argued should be done during the election. Set it aside, put it in a lockbox, don't mess with it. They have been taking that Social Security money and using it and giving it to Halliburton and giving it to Bush's rich buddies in these huge tax cuts, so-called tax cuts. These are tax deferrals. Someday our children are going to have to pay those taxes because our government is still spending that money. And Greenspan says this is a real problem. This is a real problem. Now, the bigger problem, frankly, I think, is something that Greenspan talked about yesterday, where Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan warned Congress on Tuesday that the rapid growth of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac poses a threat to the stability of U.S. financial markets. I mean, there is a teetering structure here that's going to make the savings and loan debacle look like an absolute picnic. I will explain after this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour, exposing the con in conservative. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Duly recall all the pledges I made just 4 years ago. A uniter, not divider, I'm no partisan clone. Please vote for me, cause I'll change the tone. Now that it's clear that my words were untrue, will you show me the door? Do you still believe me, or will you relieve me in 2004?
And welcome back. That's from the American, an album called The American Way by the Dimpled Chad and the Disenfranchised. A little bit of bumper music they sent us. A fascinating, nice music. Anyhow, 25 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman, and here's the large frame for this thing. You know, we have the story of Nero fiddling while Rome was burning. And in my opinion, particularly this gay marriage amendment thing, this is Bush fiddling while America burns. And the way that America is burning, metaphorically speaking, is we are in the midst of an absolute economic disaster. And it's the result, it's the direct result of conservative economic policies. Absolutely. This guy has lost more jobs than even Herbert Hoover, and they're not coming back. So here we have the Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan warned Congress on Tuesday that the rapid growth of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac poses a threat to the stability of U.S. financial markets, and said, you know, we've got to do something about this. He favors privatizing these companies. See, these two corporations. Originally, were government agencies. They've been kind of spun off as federally chartered corporations, which is a very rare thing. Corporations are generally chartered by the states. Amtrak is a federally chartered corporation. I think the Corporation for Public Broadcasting may be. They have to be created by an act of Congress. You can't just go in and say, "Hi, I want to start a corporation, a federally chartered corporation." You can't do that like you can with the state. In any state, you can just walk into the Secretary of State's office and say, "I want to start a corporation." You pay your $300 or whatever the fee is for that particular state, and boom, you've got a business. You have given birth to a new person, according to some folks. And it actually has its own Social Security number. It's called an employer ID number, EIN. And on it goes. But anyhow, here's the situation. These two companies hold $4 trillion in home mortgages. That's 70% of all the conventional single-family loans in the United States. Two companies, 70%. And increasingly, they have been reducing, because of these very low interest rates that Mr. Greenspan has put into play. See, I'm telling you, this is the equivalent of Greenspan's irrational exuberance speech that he gave just before the stock market bubble burst. He is warning the financial community and the millionaires and billionaires out there who have their money in things like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are saying, ho-ho! I mean, he's speaking to us in code. We know what this means, and that's why the stock of these two organizations fell yesterday after these comments, because people were selling. Saying, you know, well, getting out of here. He's saying that these should be privatized. He says, now, Mankiw, the chairman of Bush's Council of Economic Advisors, he wrote an op-ed piece for the Financial Times last week, and he said that we should have tougher oversight and that a regulator should have the ability to wind down the affairs of a troubled government-sponsored enterprise through receivership. In other words, if one of these things gets thrown into bankruptcy, there should be a bailout plan. Does this smell like the savings and loans scandal that made one of the Bush brothers, I believe it was, wasn't it Neil Bush, at Silverado Savings and Loan, made him so wealthy? Anyhow, Greenspan said Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's relatively weak regulation and federal subsidies foster a widespread belief that the government would bail them out if they got into trouble. And in fact, they are so large that if the government failed to bail them out, they could take down the whole house with them. No pun intended. So here we have this mess, and what does Bush want to do? He wants to talk about gay marriage. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The United Nations is trying to make the world aware of the plight that faces the primates that are most like us. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Conservation experts who work for the United Nations say time is running out for the great apes like gorillas, chimps, and orangutans. They say that within 50 years, all species of the great apes will be extinct or very close to it. Reserves have been created in Africa and Southeast Asia to study and protect these animals, but a survey 4 years ago showed that almost all the great ape populations inside those reserves were still getting smaller. That news was particularly disappointing to conservationists like Ian Redman. He says the reserves were supposed to help populations of the animals get bigger.
The piecemeal project-based strategies, which have been the norm for the past 40 or 50 years, were having little effect in the bigger picture.
Redman works with the UN Great Apes Survival Project. It's known by its acronym as GRASP, and it involves two UN agencies, 23 countries, and about 40 nonprofit organizations. Redman says GRASP is organizing a global effort to save the great apes and the forests where they live. At the same time, it will encourage local support for protection in countries where it's needed.
Although GRASP is trying very hard to get the high-level support, high-level support alone is not enough. It has to have grassroots support as well.
The UN project is trying to help countries develop something called Great Ape Tourism. Tourist operations built around the apes would bring money to communities near the reserves and provide an economic alternative to poaching. Redman says Uganda and Rwanda have seen economic benefits from this kind of tourism. He hopes more countries will realize that live, healthy apes are more of a long-term asset than dead ones. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Recall when I said I'd leave no child behind. I guess I changed my mind. Luckily, I bribed you with my tax cut con. The rich got richer, soon the surplus was gone. Prosperity replaced by unemployment and debt. Who could ask for more? It may take amnesia for me to still please you in 2004.
And welcome back. 26 minutes before the hour, this is Tom Hartman with you. And an interesting juxtaposition of stories here on the business section of today's newspaper, just our local newspaper here in the Burlington Free Press in Burlington, Vermont. And these are AP stories, so I'm sure people saw them all over the country. And this comes back to this thing that when the economy went south as a result of Reagan's tax cuts and his supply side economics for George Bush Sr., then all of a sudden it became of absolute urgency in the United States that we amend the United States Constitution. I started out with Texas versus Johnson. Gregory Lee Johnson, a fellow in Texas, had burned an American flag. Now, there was a Texas law that said that that was illegal. This guy burned an American flag. He was prosecuted by the state, convicted. The Supreme Court of Texas threw it down, said, sorry, this is unconstitutional, and went to the United States Supreme Court, And the United States Supreme Court, on a 5-4 vote, said that even burning the flag is protected free speech. Remember all the, I mean, this huge furor. And so then you get Senator Robert Dole in 1989 introducing Senate Bill 607, the Anti-Flag Desecration Act. 75% of the citizens of Wisconsin, for example, said that they supported a flag-protecting constitutional amendment. Republicans were all behind this. President George H.W. Bush supported it, talked about it all the time. Anytime anybody wanted to talk about the economy, oh, no, we got to have an amendment to ban flag burning. Senator Bob Kerry, Democrat of Nebraska, said Bush was choosing the path of least resistance and greatest political gain. Well, what a surprise. So the Flag Protection Act became law on October 28, 1989. Immediately, people started burning flags. See, I mean, you seeing the parallels here? You've got all, you know, the gays getting married in San Francisco. I mean, you know, it's people saying, hey, you said we can't do this, we're going to do it. Acting up. Immediately after the passage, demonstrators began rallying to protest the act by burning American flags. In fact, most of them in California, many of them. The largest protests were in Berkeley. And somebody else got arrested, a guy named Eichmann. And that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And on May 14th of 1990, Justice William Brennan wrote the court's majority authority, of the majority, and said that the court had recognized a purported national consensus favoring the prohibition of flag burning. In other words, he says, hey, yeah, we get it that, you know, democratically speaking, the majority of people want to have a ban on flag burning. He said, but this isn't a pure democracy. This is a democratically, you know, a constitutionally limited democratic republic. In other words, we have the rule of law here. And one of the laws, one of the rules that we came up with way back when, well, he said, even assuming such a consensus exists, any suggestion that the government's interest in suppressing speech becomes more weighty as popular opposition to that speech grows is foreign to the First Amendment. And, you know, the only time, yesterday I said that in the 227-year history of America, we have never voted to restrict rights by amending the Constitution. I was wrong. In 1919, the 18th Amendment was passed to prohibit the availability of alcohol. Remember? Prohibition? Worked spectacularly well. It was repealed in 1933 with what I think was the 22nd Amendment. Might have been the 21st. So anyhow, Bush, you know, it's you see this pattern among the Bushes of their economic policies making the rich incredibly richer and just devastating the middle class. And so they throw a bone to those people. You don't have a job anymore, but you don't worry. We're taking care of the social fabric of America. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number if you have thoughts on this one. 22 minutes before the hour, Linda in New York is on the line. Hey, Linda, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I used to tune in to you in San Jose, and now I'm in New York.
Oh, great.
And I'm still listening to your show, and you're right about this gay marriage thing, which is now a distraction in the 2004 election year. And in 2002, remember, the weapons of mass destruction belonging to Iraq was the huge distraction.
That's right.
Which drove all other election issues off the page.
Yep.
Remember
yep.
that? I mean, what a wonderful way to change the subject. And now it's this...
Go ahead.
Yeah, now it's this idiotic gay marriage amendment to the Constitution... totally irrelevant to most of us, but it will drive people insane, you know, during 2004 to try to bury the discussion of issues which the Democrats are trying to raise.
Gays have been having civil unions here in Vermont for, you know, a couple of years now, and it's invisible. It's invisible just like regular marriages are invisible. I mean, occasionally you drive by a church and you see a wedding party. I mean, what does that mean? This is, it's Anyway, I'm ranting. Your turn, Linda.
Oh, I wanted to urge you, if you haven't already had her on the air, is to get author Naomi Klein on the air.
Yeah, she's brilliant, isn't she?
Oh, I just heard a recording of one of her addresses that was recorded in October of last year about Iraq and how the Bush administration really went to war in Iraq to sell Iraq, to privatize Iraq's assets and sell them to U.S. corporations.
Right. Yeah.
And
well,
that, you know. Yeah. And that Iraq is going to be a wholly owned subsidiary of the U.S. government, which is controlled by the corporations, and it will not be rebuilt, but she says it will be erased.
Yeah. And that's going to be an interesting one to watch because the Iraqis are aware of this. This is not a secret in Iraq, and they are starting to say, excuse us, but we threw out the British. We've been through this before. We would rather not have imperial powers in our country. Thank you very much. Well, Linda, thanks for your thanks for your call. I'm going to move along here. I appreciate it. And thanks, Steph. And these two juxtaposed stories, by the way, that I just want to get this out here, and we got another caller to go to. Consumer confidence drops in February. It's one headline. It talks about intensifying worries about the job market sent consumer confidence tumbling in February. Scott Hoyt, director of consumer economics for economy.com, a forecasting firm in Westchester, Pennsylvania, says a lot of it has to do with the labor market and the fact that we're not seeing the kind of pickups in jobs that consumers had originally expected. Well, actually, Scott, we are seeing a pickup in jobs. This economy has created millions of jobs. The problem is, just in the last 3 years, this economy has created millions of jobs. The problem is it has created them in China and in India and in Mexico and dozens of other nations, not in the United States. And the juxtaposition is the other story that's right next to it. The headline is Home Depot enjoys huge profit increase. Remember when everybody was wondering a few months ago why George Bush took taxpayer dollars and flew Air Force One in to make this appearance at a Home Depot store? And then we discovered that there was this line of code buried in one of the laws that was passed, one of the appropriations bills that provided a tax break on the import tariffs on something like ceiling fans, and that it was going to make Home Depot millions of dollars. This one little line, and that, you know, they had been out there lobbying, and they're big supporters of George Bush. Well, they're also making money hand over fist. They earned $951 million in a three-month period that ended February 1st. I say, wonderful. Corporations make money, wonderful. But not at the expense of communities and not at the expense of democracy. If any of this profit is the consequence of their lobbying efforts in Washington, it is not. This is not. That's not a free and fair market. That's not. And if it's, and well, you know the rant. Let's kill your television. There's got to be a real name in there. Hey, kill your television from the chat room is on the line. Shall I call you Kill?
You can call me Brian. How are you?
That's much better, Brian. Hey, I'm great. How are you?
You know, I'm not sure if anybody has raised this point yet, but. You know, they're so worried about gay marriage destroying the sanctity, all this. And what about divorce? Did that ruin it? You know, people are getting divorced. You're not supposed to do that.
Well, you know, that makes the point, because the Catholic Church still does not acknowledge divorce. Divorce does not exist. I was in Ireland, 10, 12, 14 years ago, something like that, sometime in the late 80s, early 90s. And there were these big billboards all over the country showing a woman and a man. They were very touching. I mean, she had this tragic look on her face, like she was just losing, you know, she was just about to just, you know, despair, a look of despair. And the man is standing next to her, and he's kind of looking off in another direction away from her. And the headline on the billboard was something to the effect of, vote yes on 17 or whatever it was, you know, or vote no or, you know. And the vote was to legalize divorce.
Wow.
Divorce was illegal in Ireland.
Is that next? Are they going to try and, you know, amend divorce is illegal?
Well, you know, the vote happened in Ireland, and divorce is now legal, although the Catholic Church still doesn't recognize it. You know, Ireland's mostly Catholic.
Yep.
This is the thing. Let's let our religions have whatever rules they want. You know, if they want, I'm even in favor of religions being able to have polygamy, frankly.
Right on.
Let them do whatever they want. But we as a society are going to decide that two people together can form a corporation, as it were. They can form an institution. The institution we call marriage. We here in Vermont, we chose to call it civil unions. I thought that was a great idea for a couple of years. I thought it was a great idea, and then you start looking around the country, and particularly in federal code, and you find all the word marriage appearing in all these different places where you've got to be married to be eligible for certain things, Social Security and whatnot. And I think that civil union just doesn't quite make it. But in any case, the point is that anything. Let's talk about anything but the economy. Let's talk about anything but the weapons of mass destruction.
Yep.
I mean, here we have the war on workers in the middle class is going full tilt boogie. The conservative war on workers. Household debt is exploding in America.
I just want to divert your attention.
Yeah, the busiest and most aggressive advertising you see on TV right now is companies that want to loan you money against your home. And why are they doing that? Well, because people are desperate to do it. I mean, if they weren't succeeding in getting those loans, they wouldn't be paying for those ads. Outsourcing jobs overseas, the Iraqi war deaths that we're not even allowed to see as these people's coffins are coming home.
Have you seen that LendingTree.com commercial?
That's what I'm talking about, the LendingTree and, you know, LendLenders and Ditech and all that.
That's
they're companies that are exploiting a market. I mean, I'm not criticizing them at all. They're very smart business people saying, hey, you know, here's a market that the conservatives are creating for us. People in the middle class are desperate to not go bankrupt. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, make it easy for them to squeeze more of the equity out of their homes.
Yeah,
wait till interest rates go up.
Exploit them.
Yeah.
Exploit them.
There you go. And then we got the other big story, this heroin explosion all across the United States. And no one seems to have put two to two together. That just in the last 2 months, there's been an explosion of heroin use in the United States. And 3 months ago, it was reported in the national press, it was all over the place, that Afghanistan had just harvested the largest opium crop in the history of the world.
And the so-called war on drugs.
Where do you think that opium went from Afghanistan? It is showing up in the streets of America right now, right this minute. And then we have the environmental destruction of America. We've got right-wing judges like we went through yesterday with Pryor and these recess appointments. You got Medicare being ripped apart. You got Alan Greenspan today saying we've got to cut Social Security. Yes, let's talk about gay marriage. I understand. Brian, I got to move along. John in Chicago's on the line. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES. John in Chicago, thanks for calling. Hey, you're on the air.
Thanks. I've just been listening for a few days, and now I see IE's going off the air, but
our program's sticking around. Yeah, we're sticking around. We're still going to be on all the radio stations we're on. We're going to be on Sirius Satellite Radio System, and we'll be on radiopower.org on the Internet. And you'll find all that. Just go to tomhartman.com, and it'll point to it.
How about the Chicago area? Anything on the radio in Chicago?
We're actually negotiating with a radio station in Chicago right now.
Excellent.
But I can't announce them until they're done.
Yeah, what I wanted to comment on was indeed sitting in front of my computer screen seeing the headline about Greenspan urging the Social Security cuts.
Yeah. Oh, John, lest I forget, the Sirius satellite says we're on Sirius Stream 143, and that covers all of Chicago as well as the whole rest of the nation.
Right,
so
right.
There's that. Anyhow, you were saying Greenspan.
Yeah, about urging the Social Security cut, and, you know, just wondering about the timing of this one, given the, you know, Bush's constitutional amendment on gay marriage, and then suddenly the next day, in the midst of the firestorm, we've got Greenspan going in front of Congress saying, hey, we got to cut Social Security. Now, you know, for the majority of people, which one is the most important issue?
Yeah. Well, you know, Greenspan, I think, is doing what he did back in 98 or 99 when he said that the stock market represented irrational exuberance. He is in some ways, you could say, doing his job, which is saying, hey, look out, guys.
Right.
You know, he's saying there's a problem here. Now, being a conservative, being a cult member in the cult of objectivism, having been initiated by Ayn Rand in her apartment in New York City, Greenspan is, you know, he's going to say, fix it on the back of the workers. You know, we don't need no stinking middle class in America. But he's correctly identifying the problem. It's just his solution is wrong.
This
John, thanks for the call.
Come back to bite Bush.
Yeah, it may. It may. We'll see. Let's hope so. 10 minutes before the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear Malloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry,
frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hate when he does that.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is a mean old world to live in, all by yourself. This is a mean old world to live in, all by yourself.
And welcome back, and that's why we need to work together. Here in our chat room, Saku says, how do we ever get out of this mess? Yeah, how do we get out of this mess? The way that we get out of this mess is the way that we have in the past. It has been done before, my friends. We ended slavery in the United States. We ended the segregation and separation of women from men in their ability to vote and participate in the workplace and in the marketplace. We integrated our schools. None of these battles, obviously, are completely finished. But we took huge steps. And the conservatives back, 230 years ago, were saying, what? Separate from England? No one's ever lived without a king. 6,000 years of history. No one's ever lived without a king. And then what? Free slaves? Well, ever since Gilgamesh, 6,000 years ago, everybody's had slaves. And then what? Allow women to vote? That's, we've had radical social change here in the United States over the last 200 years. And it has always come from the bottom up. It's never been from the top down. Here we've got the story. Kerry won 3 states yesterday in the Forgotten Tuesday election. In Hawaii, Dennis Kucinich came in second. Edwards came in second in Utah and Idaho. And, another few electoral victories, as it were. I think, Kerry now has 663. Edwards has 199 electoral delegates, or delegates to the convention. They need 2,162 to get nominated. So it's continuing. But it's not going to come from these guys. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't vote for them and you shouldn't participate. But it's going to come from you and me, because it never comes from the politicians. The politicians respond to the people, not the other way around. It comes from social movements. And that's what we're creating in the United States. That's what this program is about. That's what democracy ultimately is about. It's about creating a world in which we can leave a better world to our children than we found here ourselves. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for listening this hour. Stick around. We'll be back.
It's coming through a hole. In the air, from those ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The United States and Britain created facts where there were no facts in the run-up to last year's war in Iraq. The former head of the United Nations Weapons Inspections Team in the country said in an interview published on Tuesday. Hans Blix, whose teams did not make significant weapons finds during months of searching Iraq before the war, has repeatedly criticized U.S. and British handling of information ahead of the war. Our inspectors had a fixed phraseology. If something was missing, then the official formula was yet to be established, Blix was quoted as saying by the German weekly Stern, but the Americans and British persistently read exists, so they created facts where there were no facts. George W. Bush wants quick election year enactment of a constitutional amendment prohibiting gays from marrying each other, but Republicans in Congress are not rushing to heed his call. Bush argued that same-sex weddings threaten the institution of marriage and thus society, and that actions by several local jurisdictions allowing gay marriage make federal intervention the only recourse. On the day George W. Bush came out in favor of a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, top Senate Republicans said they will begin hearings on the issue next week and could force a vote on the measure in the next few months. Senate Judiciary Chairman Orrin Hatch indicated that the deadline for floor action would not extend for more than a few months. Hatch said he would not allow opponents of the amendment to bury it in the Judiciary Committee indefinitely and vowed to use whatever procedural steps needed to make sure the measure gets to the Senate floor. Theresa Hines Carey says U.S. will one day accept gay marriage. I think with time and without a lot of politicization of this, we'll get there, said Hines Carey, who is on a three-day campaign swing through California, which holds its primary next week. I think our country is basically a tolerant country. She said she expected the Bush campaign would use her husband's views on the issue against him in the presidential race. It's a campaign year. What can I say? Hines Carey said. They'll use everything.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Investigators determined that a woman showing a fake identification tag at the Delta Airlines ticket counter had mistakenly been given two packages shipped from an Atlanta medical agency, one containing a pulmonary valve and another package containing a vein intended for a coronary bypass graft surgery. Tabitha Bracken, 27, of Canada, and Dalvin Robinson, 43, of Lockport, New York, were taken into custody after Bracken approached the Delta ticket counter with the packages containing the organs and asked to swap them for those containing 140 pounds of marijuana, the shipment that had brought them to the airport originally.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
These days, any president's budget is an exercise in political posturing and economic gimmickry. But this year's $2.4 trillion offering by George W. is a P.T. Barnum exercise in flimflam, economic voodoo, political whitewash, hog excrement, plutocratic pandering, and outright fraud. Not only does Bush's budget not add up, it pretends that 2 plus 2 equals 22, and that you and I are too stupid to know the difference. Start with the fact that the Bushites admit that they have eaten all of the $240 billion surplus they inherited and will leave us with a $520 billion deficit this year alone. But the debt they're passing on to our children is far worse than that. For flimflam, Bush simply excluded from the budget any cost for his ongoing occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan. He says he'll let us know how many gabillions these items will cost us after the November elections. If you went to a bank for a loan with numbers like these, not only would you be summarily rejected, but they'd haul your worthless carcass directly to debtor's prison. The bulk of the debt that Bush is creating is not to cover things that strengthen our country and improve our lives, but merely to cover his giveaway of trillions of dollars from our public treasury to the corporations and millionaires who finance his presidency. Buried down in the line item details of his budget, you'll find that George is financing this massive giveaway to his already fabulously rich supporters by cutting back on firefighters, his own No Child Left Behind Act, high school dropout prevention, heating for low-income seniors, disabled students, veterans' health, modernizing our air controller system, clean water, prevention of children's lead poisoning, low-income child care, and even the Office of Domestic Preparedness, which is key to local anti-terrorism efforts. This is Jim Hightower saying, when Bush budgets, the rich profit and the rest of us pay.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. In the chat room, Coach Glenn says, even desired bushes can become weeds after a while when they overgrow. Well said. I just spent an hour talking about the economic precariousness of our situation in the conservative program to wipe out the middle class. Let's take a different viewpoint on some of this. Let's look at it from a slightly different angle, from a little stranger a viewpoint, a little more unusual. Swami Beyond Ananda has been called many things over the years: the yogi from Muskogee, the cosmic comic, the guru of holy healing, a rare medium well done. His mission is to increase the laugh force on the planet so that everyone can see farce fields and hear the laugh track. Hey, Swami, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
It's good to be here and to be there, too.
Yes. I'm great to have you back. What do you think about Ralph Nader running? What does the Swami think about this?
I would love to see Ralph Nader run. In fact, I volunteer to lead the mob that chases him.
Okay. Uh-oh. Be careful. I said something like that a couple of days ago on the air here.
This is only for kidding, because, yeah, again, we believe in harming no one. But, 4 years ago, Ralph Nader said there was very little difference between Bush and Gore. And I guess he was right, sort of. Because, listen, we ended up with Bush, and we got plenty of Gore.
Yeah, we got gored.
We definitely got gored and plenty of gore. And I think we got more gore with Bush than we would have gotten Bush with gore, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. We'll just leave that one right where I was.
Yes, and I think, of course, it's always good to have somebody else in there talking on some of the talking points to keep people awake.
Yes.
But I think that Ralph Nader's influence will be negligible, if not less.
Yeah, I suspect the same, and which is unfortunate, because I think that on the outside he has done so much good over the years. He has changed the face of America in many ways, and we all owe him a great debt of gratitude. You know, for safer cars and non-smoking areas, pointing out the corporate corruption of money and politics, and common cause, public citizen. I mean, all these things that he's been doing that have been responsible for campaign finance reform, referendums and initiatives in various states. I mean, he's really done a lot of good.
Yes, he absolutely has. And as much bad as he does, no, I think he didn't quite wipe the slate clean last time, yeah, or wipe it dirty. But that's true. I think that over a long period of time, he has had a lot of positive influence in waking people up. And now it is time to all of us being, you know, again, this is we're not just in it for we're in it for the long haul, not just the short overhaul. And his yes, message is about what we need to do in the long haul.
Yes, it is.
So let's not, it's okay to shoot the messenger, but not the message.
There you, well, okay. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number if you have a question for the Swami. I'm wondering where you stand on the gay marriage issue, Swami Vyanananda.
Well, you know, being a Swami, of course, I was celibate for about 13 years. But when I turned 14, I said enough of that. but no, I think that that there is something to be said for the fact that marriage is between a man and a woman. But I don't see any problem there because, listen, we could just simply change what it's called. If it's two men, that would be fratrimony. Two women, that would be galimony. And then everybody would be able to have the happiness that they want. Look at it. This is a contradiction in terms. If you have gay people who are unhappy, what good is that?
Yeah.
If you're going to be gay, you may as well be happy.
There you go.
And you know about the Log Cabin Republicans, don't you?
I do.
Maybe your listeners don't. The Log Cabin Republicans are a group of gay Republicans. And
yes,
they say that there is a million gay Republicans out there.
Well, there were.
There were. Well, that's right, because, you know, it used to be the Log Cabin Republican said, we're behind Bush all the way.
Yeah.
But that might be changing now.
Yeah, he's telling them I'm not going to take that one either.
Oh, okay, we won't take that one.
Okay.
But really, I think this is clearly an issue that is designed to create more separation at a time when people were beginning to wake up to see what we have in common. You know, one of the dysfunctional functions of the media is to keep the left and the right from speaking to each other.
Yeah.
Or get
them yelling at each other.
Well, exactly.
It's entertainment, you know.
Yes, that's right. The great political debates of, Jerry Springer. Maybe we should have Kerry and Bush on Jerry Springer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you see on Faux News, is the Jerry Springerization of politics.
That's right.
Evening. Oh, yes, let's get a liberal on and not let them get three words out of their mouth and beat them up. And, you know, on this program, we have been really trying to get more and more conservatives on to talk with us. And increasingly, they're unwilling to come on the program.
Is that right?
But I used to, when we started, early last year, I would sometimes really go after them. Now I think that it's easier actually to let them, just give them all the rope they want.
Oh, exactly.
It's pretty remarkable, and let people really understand that the conservative agenda is about turning America back into a feudal state, going back to an ancient form of governance, which is rule by the rich.
Well, that's exactly right. That is, the disappearing middle class and the growing gap between rich and poor is an indication that, unfortunately, this great country is headed in the direction of feudalism, and we are, many people are about to become serfs. In fact, maybe our new theme song should be Serf City, Here We Come.
Yes. And that's the dream of the Limbaughs and the Bushes and the Gingriches of the world. I mean, it's just very strange. We're talking with Swami Vyanananda, 14 minutes past the hour. His website is www.wakeuplaughing.com. Swami, I see that the Pentagon is opening up an investigation of Halliburton pricing. Any predictions there?
Well, I'll tell you something. This might be the beginning of these. We were just talking about feudalism, and this might be the beginning of understanding the gold collar criminals. You know, because this is way beyond white collar crime.
Yeah,
this is huge amounts of money, and here we are. We're talking about. I heard the little commercial from Jim Hightower talking about all of the little programs that are being cut.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this big monster that, just all you have to say is it is defense spending, and all of a sudden you can feed this huge monster. It eats like crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, the $1 trillion that disappeared from the Defense Department budget last year?
Yeah, just
I didn't see that on Unsolved Mysteries, did you?
I saw it one day in a little 3-inch piece in the newspaper. I mean, it wasn't even worthy of a headline that $1 trillion had vanished out of the Pentagon, and nobody can account for it in the Pentagon.
By the way, a little footnote. It's really amazing how the irony curtain has come down.
Yes.
That people do not recognize that. But do you see any hope? Do you see that people are waking up? Do you think?
Oh, I see. I have tremendous hope. I am seeing people waking up all across the United States. And we're seeing, you know, the micro view of it is just that we're seeing record turnouts. I mean, yesterday in one of the states, I think it was Utah, where they had primaries, they had so many more voters than they expected that they had to, like, run out to Kinko's or something and get extra ballots printed or however they do
it.
That's
a good sign. That's better than Diebold. I'll let Kinko's do my voting for me. They're bound to be more accurate.
Yeah, yeah. So
well, that's true. I mean, and you know, the thing is that Utah is a very, very interesting place because I am seeing, you know, again, did you see that Senator Hatch got into trouble?
No.
Yes, Senator Hatch got into trouble with the Republicans because he actually blew the whistle on those, I think it was Senator Frist's staff.
That's right. Orrin Hatch was the one who revealed that it was Frist's staff who was bugging the Democrats' computer, breaking into the Democrats' computer. Is that what you're talking about? And then all of a sudden, they find some powder at Frist's office, and his office is declared off limits, and nobody can go in there for a while.
That's right. And Senator Hatch, because he is a man of integrity, whether you like his politics or not, he is a man of integrity. He actually pointed out that this was wrong and took a stand, and now all of the Republicans are turning on him, saying he is disloyal. So when you look at Utah and you look at the Mormons, for example, these are people who do have high moral standards, and once they start to see the discrepancy, you might see some changes.
Yeah. Let's, you know, from your lips to God's ears. And of course, that you're as a Swami, you have a. We're talking to Swami Beyond Ananda, wakeuplaughing.com. How about the revelation that the CIA had the name and phone number of a 9/11 terrorist back during the Clinton administration, and they never followed up?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they called him and told him to go ahead. You don't know.
No, come on.
No. No, actually, this is very, very interesting because what we have here. Is, you know, they say that this whole situation, that the whole 911, it's really about a lack of human intelligence. And believe me, I see an extreme lack of human intelligence in the way many of these things were followed up, and in particular in the way that this is being covered up right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
there is a big cover-up going on.
Oh, and the big cover-up is not. I mean, they're pleased to point out the failings of the Clinton administration, but boy, you're not going to hear about the August 6th briefing that of 2001 that Bush got just before he went on the longest vacation in presidential history about the what Bin Laden was planning to do in the next month.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think that probably the ranch in Texas was considered not a target.
Yeah, and there he went.
And there he went.
And then he went to Florida. And anyhow, it's Swami, we've got about a minute left. We haven't had any callers here. Wake Up Laughing is the Swami's website. What advice do you have for John Kerry in the final 30 seconds here in his face-off against George Bush?
Well, I think his important thing is to keep his face on in the face-off. It's one most important thing. And I think it's to help America face the fact that what we have right now is a very divisive presidency that is distracting. Weapons of mass distraction are being used like crazy. People are being distracted en masse, like, for example, through the sanctity of marriage amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, it was burning the flag under Senior Bush. Now it's gay marriage. You know, it's
well, I believe that the Junior Bush is burning the flag at both ends.
Yeah.
And I think that it is important for Kerry to keep pointing that out. It's like, don't keep looking at the man behind the curtain.
Well said. Swami Beyond Ananda, wakeuplaughing.com. Swami, thank you for being with us today. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Drive your car, my curb, your dogma. Drive your car, my curb, your dogma. Don't step in what your dogma leaves behind. Don't allow your beliefs to make you blind.
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Curb your Curb Your... That was a song by Swami Vyanananda, wakeuplaughing.com. You can find it. You remember this?
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
Yeah. In 2001, we got that speech, and we got tax cuts for the rich. And a few of us got a check for $100 or $200 or $300. And in 2002 and in 2003, and now he wants to make them permanent. Well, did we get?
We will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
Yeah, did we get that? Well, here's the economic news. January was a cold, cold month for workers, reports the Center for American Progress. The Bureau of Labor Statistics announced today that last month, quote, this is the government, quote, this is the Bush administration. Quote, there were 2,428 mass layoff actions by employers, end quote, in January. Both the number of layoff events and initial claims were higher than a year ago, says the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And these are quotes, marked only the third time in the last 2 years that initial claims had increased over the year. Not a very promising start to the Bush administration's claims that 2.6 million jobs would be created in 2004, which is perhaps why the White House backtracked from its economic report so quickly last week. Hardest hit states, Ohio, Michigan, New York, California. Michigan, Ohio in particular, going to be real battleground states here in this coming election. The policy of guns and butter is alive and kicking. This is what Lyndon Johnson did. I mean, you know, and Richard Nixon, and it doesn't work. I mean, if you're going to run a war, you've got to do it the way Franklin Roosevelt did. And well, even Roosevelt actually generated a deficit as a result of the war, a rather substantial one, but also took steps to try and pay it off. And Truman continued that, and then Eisenhower did. I mean, there was a consensus back then. This wasn't a partisan thing. This wasn't a left-right Republican-Democrat thing, or at least not so much. But here we have, you know, guns and butter. Yes, we can have a war, and we can also have, you know, benefits for people. No, it's not. Alan Greenspan this morning said, no, it ain't going to happen. Sorry. Anyhow, according to the World Policy Institute, as the Center for American Progress reports, contractors are grinning all the way to the bank with a rapid increase in military contracts flowing to those firms as a result of the U.S. interventions in Iraq and Afghanistan. But big companies don't always give the U.S. a fair shake in return. Here's a quote from this World Policy Institute study. Whether one looks at Halliburton, which is reeling from accusations of fraud in its operations in Iraq, or Boeing, which just this week lost a major contract for the Comanche helicopter on the heels of having yet another major deal for aerial refueling tanks or tankers put on hold in a revolving door hiring scandal, end quote, things need to be regulated. But the truth is, the Pentagon is so reliant on these corporations now. I mean, this is the, you know, infiltrate and conquer. That if the Pentagon was to actually try to regulate these corporations, they could bite back. So William D. Hartung suggests what we need is a policy audit of the relationship between the Pentagon and private contractors like Boeing and Halliburton. Good idea. A good place to start would be by taking up the call by Taxpayers for Common Sense to create a new Truman Commission with the power to investigate and thwart war profiteering. Remember Harry Truman? He created a commission to look into corporations profiting from World War II. It's high time that we revisit this. Great idea. 29 minutes past the hour. This is the Tom Hartman radio program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The United Nations is trying to make the world aware of the plight that faces the primates that are most like us. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Conservation experts who work for the United Nations say time is running out for the great apes like gorillas, chimps, and orangutans. They say that within 50 years, all species of the great apes will be extinct or very close to it. Reserves have been created in Africa and Southeast Asia to study and protect these animals, but a survey 4 years ago showed that almost all the great ape populations inside those reserves were still getting smaller. That news was particularly disappointing to conservationists like Ian Redman. He says the reserves were supposed to help populations of the animals get bigger.
The piecemeal project-based strategies, which have been the norm for the past 40 or 50 years, were having little effect in the bigger picture.
Redman works with the UN Great Apes Survival Project. It's known by its acronym as GRASP, and it involves two UN agencies, 23 countries, and about 40 nonprofit organizations. Redman says GRASP is organizing a global effort to save the great apes and the forests where they live. At the same time, it will encourage local support for protection in countries where it's needed.
Although GRASP is trying very hard to get the high-level support, high-level support alone is not enough. It has to have grassroots support as well.
The UN project is trying to help countries develop something called Great Ape Tourism. Tourist operations built around the apes would bring money to communities near the reserves and provide an economic alternative to poaching. Redman says Uganda and Rwanda have seen economic benefits from this kind of tourism. He hopes more countries will realize that live, healthy apes are more of a long-term asset than dead ones. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
They say that the human race is just for racing. I say that we're cruising just for fun. When we declare that every soul's a winner, the human race will be won.
Oh, what a great plan. The human race will be won. Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number this week. We're going to have a different phone number next week. So, you know, get ready to make a note. Go to TomHartman.com. You'll find all the information. New phone number, RadioPower.org. Will be carrying us on the web stream. If you're listening to us on your radio station at home, as I think most of our listeners are, we will still be there. If you're listening to us on the Sirius Satellite Stream 143, we will still be there. So that's on it goes. Carl in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Carl, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, thanks for being there again.
You're welcome.
You remember me calling in with the Swami?
Oh, when he and I were in California 2 weeks ago?
Oh, that was last week when I called.
Last week, oh, okay.
But anyway, wasn't the Swami on today?
He was, yeah.
He's not on for the full hour, though?
No, we didn't. We just did 20 minutes.
I was going to ask him a question, but I'll ask you.
Okay.
Before I ask that, though, is there going to be any interruption in your programming?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
So I should be able to pick you up on Power Radio?
RadioPower.org if you're listening on the internet, or in North Carolina. We're on WEED in Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Doubt if I can pick that up where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Yeah. RadioPower.org.
Okay. And do you know if the rest of the progressive schedule, like Mike Malloy and such, is going to be continued, or?
I don't know. I don't believe so, but I don't know. I mean,
oh, that's a shame.
What I would suggest is that each one of the programs that you're interested in keep track of their websites.
Okay.
And,
good deal.
And they'll let you know.
I was going to ask this on me too. Did you happen to see the Andy Rooney bit on 60 Minutes this week?
I did not.
Oh, that was funny. I have the transcript, but he was talking about the Mel Gibson movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest revelation that the 700 Club guy.
Pat Robertson, that George Bush is going to win in a landslide. God told him.
And it was so hilarious. I mean, Andy Rooney is so witty anyway, but this was one of his best. I mean, and he lays it all out there.
Yeah, he does a great job. Carl, I got to move along. Thanks for the call, though, and thanks for the good, the kind words. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 24 minutes before the hour, Richard in Grand Rapids is on the line. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Hey, Tom, thanks for letting me on. Great news to hear you're on and out. But I got to say, just for the record, that it's a regrettable and sad decision by the United Auto Workers Union to pull the plug on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, you never know what comes out of out of things.
It was a great thing they did to put it on the air.
It was,
and so I, at the same time, I would laud them for that. But boy, you wish that a solution could have been found. And let's leave it at that. Did you?
I think a year from now we're going to look back on this and say, as is usually the case with every transition, gee, that was a change. Mm-hmm. I mean, a change opens new opportunities.
Yeah. Well, but right now, of course, on a large scale, we don't see those solutions immediately in front of us. But at any rate, did you notice? It occurred to me that President Bush muffed the money line in his speech there to the governors the other night.
No.
When he said that line being, of course, and that's just one senator from Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
The first rule of Republican public speaking is when you're referring to anyone from Massachusetts, the word liberal goes in front of it.
Yes.
So, I mean, so how do you miss something like that is what I was wondering.
Well, I'm wondering if he didn't use the word liberal because the word liberal is making a comeback. Because people are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, if conservative is what we've got, then I'm ready to be a liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I wanted to weigh in real quick on Ralph Nader. I think the only person he's going to hurt is Dennis Kucinich. I mean, we've already got Nader in the race, you know. And I mean, those two guys are the same guy. And the only thing that worries me on this constitutional amendment is the process. For example, I don't know here in Michigan if we will have a referendum on whether to give our state's approval to amending the Constitution, or if it can go right through the state legislature. But if there's a referendum involved, I would think that common sense would dictate that any woman who supports the Equal Rights Amendment would vote against this. How can we have this, and you can't give us something as simple as the ERA?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The ERA has not yet gotten two-thirds of the states. Tim Kennedy reintroduced it in 2002, I think was the last time. I don't know that it got reintroduced last year.
Yeah. So, we've just scratched the surface. The arguments that were put up against the ERA on the legal basis, which is what this is all about. Oh, if you do this, it's going to cause all these unintended consequences, and there's going to be a thousand of those unintended consequences associated with this proposed amendment. And when those come to light, I just don't see it. Being part of our Constitution at all, ever.
Well, there's always unintended consequences associated with change. If it's a positive change, though, I mean, there were unintended consequences associated with the beginning of democracy in the United States, with the end of slavery, with women's suffrage.
Have you noticed, Tom, that every argument that the proponents of this ban on gay marriage, this constitutional amendment put out, you could change the subject from gay marriage to basic civil rights for minorities, for black people in the 1960s, and everything they say about activist courts and thwarting the will of the people was true in 1964 when they were talking about giving a fair shake to black people when it came to voting.
Welcome to history repeats itself, Richard.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to history repeats itself. Yes, you're absolutely right. Richard, I got to move along. I got a bunch of calls here. Thank you for the call, though. They're from Grand Rapids. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. 20 minutes before the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Perry in New York is on the line. Hey, Perry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. Hey, I was listening to Don Imus this morning out of WFAN in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that tomorrow morning he's going to have Tom Hartman on.
Oh, really? It's not going to be
really.
Me.
And so what? But it was kind of funny. You're going to have to rag him a bit, because how he introduced you guys was apparently it's going to be you and some kind of Republican fluff that's going to talk about some kind of Bush doctrine. And he says, yep, we're going to have two more wackos on tomorrow morning. And of course, you were one of them.
Well, that's very strange, Perry, because, you know, now there is a Catholic priest out there by the name of Father Tom Hartman. And he spells his name T-O-M. I spell my name T-H-O-M. He spells his Hartman with one N, and I spell it with two. And he's been on the media quite a bit. And he's, I would say, kind of a liberal Catholic, if that makes sense. A good guy. He's written some very nice books. And so my guess is that Don Imus is going to interview him tomorrow, because I have not heard from him. So.
Well, that's good. Then Don Imus does not think you're the wacko.
Yeah. Fortunately. And, you know, Imus is a reasonably decent guy. He does a good show, and he's doing some good work in the world. So, yeah, I'm glad he doesn't think I'm a wacko. Perry, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number 20 minutes before the hour. Iraq cashing in health care. Uninsured are slapped with higher bills. Do you see USA Today reported that hospitals are routinely charging the uninsured a higher price for identical services than people who have insurance? Why? Because insurance companies can negotiate discounts. Whereas if you're uninsured, heh, good luck. You're out of luck. I mean, that's it. Storm in Illinois. Hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Tom. Tom, have you heard the story about the presidential helicopter fleet?
I have not.
Okay, there are, it surprised me, but there are 30 to 35 helicopters in the presidential fleet. And Bush has decided it's time to get a new fleet of helicopters, and he's considering purchasing them from Tony Blair's Great Britain.
Seriously.
That was on, it was either Nightline or one of those kind of programs, either that or Bill Moyer's Now program, one of those kind of programs.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Republican Party had a plan for a while there to have their fundraising calls being generated in India. And
yeah,
They dumped it when it got outed, when they got outed on it, you know.
Well, they pulled that out.
Yeah,
they
did.
But the communist Chinese are still making our boots for our military and our black berets, the new berets for the Army.
And they're making some of the chips for our missiles.
Uh-huh.
And, one of the guidance systems for our missiles relies on a rare earth magnet. And there was one company in the United States that made those magnets. It was in, as I recall, Joliet, Illinois. I may be wrong, but that's my recollection. It was somewhere in that part of the Midwest. And a Chinese corporation came in, bought up that company, leverage buyout or whatever. They bought the company, and then they closed the factory, took the technology to China, and took the manufacturing to China, and now the only way that we can build a guidance system for a missile is to buy that part from the communist government of China.
That was part of the same deal that Bill Clinton put through to sell them all those supercomputers,
yeah.
The guidance systems and the supercomputers. He changed it from the State Department to the authorization of the Department of Commerce.
See, this is why it's so important for people to get it, that it's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's about conservatives versus democracy.
Versus fascism.
Well, fascism is on the conservative side. I mean, the dictionary definition of fascism is the merging of the corporate and state interest together with belligerent nationalism,
yes.
Which is what Mussolini invented and Hitler did.
And Republicans and Democrats are both guilty of...
Absolutely, and it's we need to point out the fallacy of it and how destructive this whole conservative mindset is. How very, very destructive it is to democracy itself. It's destructive to the middle class because the conservative worldview doesn't allow for the middle class, because the middle class is created by government intervention, by things like the minimum wage laws and the government saying, hey, there's going to be a level playing field if capital can aggregate and form organizations and institutions called corporations and trade associations and lobbying groups, then labor can aggregate and form institutions called unions. And government has to step in and say, this is how, you know, these are the rules of the game if you're going to play the game. And that's not part of the conservative worldview. They
get government out of the way. You know, we want to make government so small we can take it in the bathtub and drown it and drown it in the bathtub, as Grover Norquist said.
Anyway, interesting story, Storm. Thanks for the tip.
Thank you, Tom.
I will keep an eye out for that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Ray in South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking.
All right, great. I just want to comment on the RAP native situation. I mean, I'm not a big fan, I guess, but I really don't think Raffinator is going to do the Democrats any harm at all.
I don't either.
I think he's going to be more harmful to George Bush than anyone, just as Ross Perot was to George H. Bush in 92, I believe, during those debates. I think he did him more harm than help.
Oh, yeah, but see, Ralph Nader's not going to be in these debates.
Well, yeah, you're right. He's
There's no possibility.
He's not going to be in the debates, but I think the news media will focus on him just enough so that he could blast George Bush, which he's going to do, and he's also going to blast the Democrats. But I think he's going to really say what the Democrats really don't have the guts to say.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right, and I hope the media does focus on him. My guess is that they won't.
Well, I mean, I feel they probably will because they. I think that the media thinks that Ralph Nader is going to do the Democrats some sort of harm.
Yeah.
When actually, I don't think he is. I think he's going to do George Bush more harm.
Well, and it's good theater, you know, and the media is always up for good theater, so.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Ray, thanks for your thoughts and weighing in on that issue. Holly Sklar wrote this great. She's an extraordinary commentator. She's been on this program back, I think, May of last year or something like that. She was on this program. And she wrote this piece, Bush's Budgets Make Us the Irresponsible Generation. It was published February 25th. When is it? Today? I think it is, sure enough. And a 2002 report on Homeland Security, she writes, published by the Council on Foreign Relations, warned that, quote, America remains dangerously unprepared to prevent and respond to a catastrophic terrorist attack, end quote. And, quote, America's own ill-prepared response could hurt its people to a much greater extent than any single attack by a terrorist, end quote. A follow-up 2003 report, Holly writes, found that emergency responders are, quote, drastically underfunded and still dangerously unprepared, end quote. And then she lays this out so eloquently that I have to share this with you. This is just so well done. She points out the Bush budget slashes first responder assistance as well as local law enforcement programs, ensuring that the massive layoffs of police, firefighters, and emergency medical workers since 9/11 will continue. You know, we have been laying off. Bill Clinton had this program, put 100,000 cops on the street, and he did it. George Bush has been laying these people off. People go, why? I think it's because they're unionized. I think this is part of the war on labor. Who knows? The Bush budget slashes this first responder assistance. Yeah, just right across the board. The budget also cuts air traffic control modernization and leaves gaping holes in security at nuclear, chemical, and port facilities. You know how much it would cost to have every single shipping container inspected at its point of origin by an American inspector, the equivalent of a TSA, you know, somebody who is actually a civil servant, you know, good government salary, good government job, and you've got some of them in England, and you've got some of them in South America, and you've got some of them in China, wherever shipments are being loaded before they even head to the United States. We're only looking at about 2% of the containers that show up here. To look at 100% of them at the point of origin would cost about $9 billion. This administration is not willing to do that. Why? Why? While soldiers wounded in Iraq face painful delays for treatment at home, Bush's budget shortchanges veterans' health care. Veterans of Foreign Wars Commander Edwin Bamis calls the funding a disgrace and a sham. While 44 million Americans have no health insurance, Bush's budget cuts Medicaid and child care health coverage and gives billions in subsidies to HMOs and drug companies in the guise of prescription drug benefits to seniors. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you what it is. A for sale sign got put out in front of the White House in January of 2001, when these guys took office. And every single piece of legislation that's been passed since then has been to the benefit of a major corporate donor to the Republican Party or to the conservatives. That's the problem. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 10 minutes before the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Yeah.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The
Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
In twilight glow, I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here, 5 minutes before the hour, 4 minutes before the hour. Jane in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, how are you? I just had to call you because it's a pleasure listening to the factual things that you're talking about. I just got through turning off the ditto head, and all I could hear him, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I don't even know where he's on the station.
He must be back on Oxycontin.
I
shouldn't say that. Pardon.
But that wasn't. I was so confusing, and he's talking about religion and everything, and I'm getting so tired of hearing religion on radio and TV, and not talking about the factual things about government, because I was listening to your conversation earlier, and about labor and such, and I heard Greenspan on this morning. And he's talking about the big deficit, and now it's finally coming to the front to show that the deficit's so big that they don't know how they're going to pay their Social Security or pay the bills, and instead of cutting it from getting back the taxes from the rich, they're going to cut everything, all the services, to the middle class.
This is the conservative vision, Jane. This is their dream. They've been trying this since Ronald Reagan. They've been trying this since Barry Goldwater. I mean, this is the vision for America that the conservatives hold.
It makes me so sick. I don't understand how people can't realize what's going on.
Well, see, they think that that's liberty. I mean, they fought FDR when he tried to put in the Social Security. They called it socialism and communism. They fought the minimum wage. They called it socialism and communism. They fought unions having rights in America. I mean, that's the conservative agenda.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about. I was reading an article that was written where Greenspan had spoken before the Omaha Chamber of Commerce.
Jane, we're out of time. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off here.
It's not continuity anyway.
Why don't you call back in the next hour or tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation. Jane, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's great to hear from you there in Santa Fe. This is Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few
stop.
More years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
What I think, you couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush wants quick election year enactment of a constitutional amendment prohibiting gays from marrying each other, but Republicans in Congress are not rushing to heed his call. Bush argued that same-sex weddings threaten the institution of marriage and thus society, and that actions by several local jurisdictions allowing gay marriage make federal intervention the only recourse. On the day George W. Bush came out in favor of a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, top Senate Republicans said they will begin hearings on the issue next week and could force a vote on the measure in the next few months. Senate Judiciary Chairman Orrin Hatch indicated that the deadline for floor action would not extend for more than a few months. Hatch said he would not allow opponents of the amendment to bury it in the Judiciary Committee indefinitely and vowed to use whatever procedural steps needed to make sure the measure gets to the Senate floor. The United States and Britain created facts where there were no facts in the run-up to last year's war in Iraq, the former head of the United Nations weapons inspections team in the country said in an interview published on Tuesday. Hans Blix, whose teams did not make significant weapons finds during months of searching Iraq before the war, has repeatedly criticized U.S. and British handling of information ahead of the war.
...is creating is not to cover things that strengthen our country and improve our lives, but merely to cover his giveaway of trillions of dollars from our public treasury to the corporations and millionaires who finance his presidency. Buried down in the line item details of his budget, you'll find that George is financing this massive giveaway to his already fabulously rich supporters by cutting back on firefighters, his own No Child Left Behind Act, high school dropout prevention, heating for low-income seniors, disabled students, veterans' health, modernizing our air controller system, clean water, prevention of children's lead poisoning, low-income child care, and even the Office of Domestic Preparedness, which is key to local anti-terrorism efforts. This is Jim Hightower saying, when Bush budgets, the rich profit and the rest of us pay.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. Talk Radio for the rest of America. Talk Radio for all of America. That's my goal here. In fact, if you think that I am nuts, off base, wrong about it, please call 1-800-TALK-YES. I would love to hear from folks who disagree with me. We, unlike many of the conservative shows out there, we do not screen calls in a way to prevent political points of view. If somebody calls up obviously drunk or something, they're not going to get on the air, but that's about it. And I would, you know, it's, let me know what you think. 1-800-TALK-YES. Okay, today is the last day. Today is the last day for Congress to look into this thing. It happened 223 days ago. Joe Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, was outed as a CIA agent, an entire CIA covert operation that it was involved in not just national security, but terrorism investigations, was brought down. Agents were compromised all over the world. And a traitor a treasonous traitor in the White House? Is it large? What does George think?
And I don't know. We're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. Yep. Well, today is the last day for Congress to demand that the administration release documents relating to this, I don't know what you call it. You call it a scandal? Crime? Today's the last day. And so Rush Holt, Representative Rush Holt, the guy who put forward the bill to a congressman, a Democrat from New Jersey, put forth the legislation to ensure that the voting machines will be at least generating verifiable paper trails and that their software will be subject to audit, a bill which the majority of Republicans seem to have no interest in whatsoever. You can bet that if the Democrats take power and democratically aligned corporations were to take over the voting machine business, the Republicans would suddenly be interested. This is what I don't get about it. What amazes me is the hubris here, the belief that they're going to hold power forever on the part of the conservatives, and that therefore they can just, you know, set up systems that can be manipulated and not thinking for the long term. Things change, and those who are in charge today are very often not in charge tomorrow, even if you want to talk about the self-interest of a party, it really should be this: the interest of democracy. It should be the interest of having a democratic republic that functions. When either party or point of view completely seizes control of all dimensions of government and then manipulates them in ways that are purely ideological and partisan, democracy is not served. I mean, it is ultimately a destructive thing. Anyhow, today is the last day. Rush Holt has submitted this bill that would extend the deadline by 2 weeks. And the House Committee on Judiciary, International Relations, and Armed Services are meeting to consider the request. As of this moment, we haven't heard from them. So we don't know. Don't know what's going on. Anyhow, today's the last call for these documents. IBM. Now this is interesting. Today's business section of today's newspapers. Jurors debate IBM's honesty. Big Blue. We're not responsible for ex-employees' cancer. This is an Associated Press story by Rachel Conrad. Byline, Santa Clara, California. Lawyers have portrayed IBM Corp as a deceitful exploiter of workers who suffer the ravages of cancer-causing chemicals used in disk drive factories. Now, this is, they're looking at people who have been working in these factories going back to the 60s. And many of them are now coming down with cancers and other diseases that seem to be related to the chemicals that they know cause these kinds of cancers and diseases in lab animals. So the jurors in Santa Clara County Superior Court must decide whether IBM engaged, says this article, this AP article, engaged in fraudulent concealment, then determined the amount of money, if any, the workers should receive. The jury determines this, not that IBM determined that. IBM engaged in fraudulent concealment. The trial, which is the first of more than 200 similar lawsuits against IBM, has got the entire semiconductor industry. I mean, all now, I suppose from the industry's point of view, I mean, this is the bad news. People who worked in the United States in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s and got cancer from working with these chemicals are now suing. From the semiconductor industry's point of view, the good news is that those people aren't doing that in the United States anymore. They've got people in China doing it, and they're not going to sue anybody because it's the communist government in China doesn't let you sue your employer. You speak up, you go to prison. Or not a Chinese accent, but you get the point. So here we've got James Moore, 62 years old, an IBM retiree. He came down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's asking jurors to award him $11,000 a year for the rest of his life in lost wages, $26,000 to cover his medical bills, and unspecified amounts in pain and suffering. In other words, just leave it up to the jury, whatever you think I've been through. Conservatives don't like this, by the way. They don't like the idea of leaving things up to a jury of your peers. That's a little too democratic. No, we need tort reform in the United States, they say. We need to make it very, very difficult for people to sue corporations when they are harmed. So anyhow, he's suing Alita Hernandez, 73, a 14-year veteran of IBM's San Jose plant, said her employer intentionally hoodwinked workers about the foul-smelling chemical mixtures that soaked her chest and arms. Hernandez, who had liver damage and breast cancer that resulted in a mastectomy, is asking for at least $8 million in disfigurement, pain, and suffering in medical expenses. Now, here's what her lawyer, Richard Alexander, had to say. And I quote, "The evidence is overwhelming that Jim and Alita were injured and IBM's doctors knew it and never said anything to them and sent them back to work." End quote. He also cited dozens, this is according to the Associated Press, Alexander cited dozens of tests where IBM doctors measured plaintiffs' liver enzymes and blood count, but never suggested that their sinus problems, hepatitis, blackouts, bloody noses, pink eye, and other disorders were the symptoms of chemical poisoning. Now, how does IBM defend themselves? Robert Weber, an attorney representing IBM, dismissed the notion that acetone, benzene, formaldehyde, xylene, and other chemicals in IBM's plants caused chemical poisoning or cancer. He said the plaintiff's case was, quote, pure hokum, end quote. And the conclusions of epidemiologists and occupational doctors who appeared as witnesses, you get this? Epidemiologists, experts come in and testify. He says this is a mountain of speculation. So this case, you know, on the one hand is, you know, could be a real landmark case because there's a couple of hundred of these cases waiting to come to trial. Sort of like the tobacco thing. You know, is anybody going to get money for being harmed by these corporations? On the other hand, increasingly, it's a non-issue because the toxic jobs, or let's rephrase that, the jobs where it's expensive to protect the workers from toxic chemicals are being moved to countries where there are no worker protections. So it's not expensive. It's, you know, quite inexpensive. Now, interestingly, in the business section of today's newspaper, the Burlington Free Press here in Vermont, and again, this is the Associated Press, so I'm sure it's all over the country, there was a sidebar story to this, or it was a pop-in. I'm not sure what they call it in these days, but we used to call them sidebars. Back when I was a journalist, and executives at IBM Corp. will have a string attached to their stock options. They can cash out only if the company's shares rise more than 10%. Now, this is considered good corporate governance. Right? If the shares of the stock go up 10%, then, see, a stock option basically, here's how a stock option works. The stock is at $50. To pull an arbitrary number out of the hat. And you get 1,000 stock options. What that means is that you have the right to buy stock at $50 anytime you want. It's the option to buy. Now, if the stock price goes down to $49, you'd be kind of crazy to buy it at $50 and sell it at $49 and lose a dollar on every share. But if, say you get that 1,000 options today, and a year from now the price of the stock goes up from $50 to $55, then you exercise your option, that is, you buy the shares, and then you immediately sell them, And you put $5,000 in your pocket because you made $5 a share on 1,000 shares. Now, when we're talking about, you know, these senior executives, we're talking generally more like thousands or hundreds of thousands or, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of shares. But that's how stock options work, you know, short course. And IBM is saying now you can't exercise your option. That is, you can't take those. You can't take that stock unless the stock has gone up 10%. Now, the irony here, of course, is that you have 10 years in which to do it. It's extremely rare that a stock doesn't go up 10% within 10 years. And secondly, what I don't get is why they say that this is going to give employees, senior executives, an incentive to behave well when it's tied to the performance of the stock and not to whether their company is doing good in the community, whether they're performing any kind of you know, valuable service, whether their products are defective or not, whether their company has been convicted of felonies. 27% of Fortune 500 companies in the last decade, in the last two decades, were convicted of a crime. Now, those aren't the things that they're tying this to. It's whether the price goes up. This gets back to the conservative vision of America. This is the cancer in our society, my friends. This is the Tom Hartman, and it's not capitalism. It is the rules of the game that are skewed. 20 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Lifts the presses right, breaks the presses left. So what's left? What's right? So what to wait?
Facing clear evidence of peril.
Be nice if you
cannot wait for the final proof.
The
smoking gun
but
could come in the form of missing flesh.
Well, welcome back. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. 25 minutes past the hour. Did you see the picture in the paper of the carnival float in Dusseldorf, Germany? A giant George Bush head with a nose about 10 feet long. And written on it was, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction on this nose. Yes, it seems to be growing longer by the minute. I'm concerned, frankly, about our domestic weapons of mass destruction, this administration's economic policy. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to weigh in on this. 1-800-825-5937. And, in fact, Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Chris?
I'm well, thank you. I was thinking about Bill Maher's comment on the movie The Passion of the Christ. He warned people not to leave when the credits start rolling because you miss all the hilarious outtakes.
Yeah.
Anyway. My question had to do with Alan Greenspan and the bomb he dropped on the House Budget Committee today, even though it was no more than speaking the obvious. This seems to me it would be of enormous damage politically to the Bush administration. How much play do you think this is going to get?
I don't know, Chris, and I it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I'm when I get off the air here, I'm looking forward to checking out, you know, what the discussions are, you know, what's going on CNN, for example, because. Yeah, number one, it is, as you say, he is stating the obvious, and he is basically recycling information that was debated in the 2000 election.
Yeah, but for the first time, the administration is actually admitting this to Congress.
Well, Greenspan is not the administration. I mean, you know, Greenspan's term is I believe it's a 14-year term he's appointed to. Maybe it's 12 years. It's either 12 or 14 years that the Fed chief is appointed to.
Right.
So he spans administrations.
Oh, well, it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And, it's going to be fascinating.
Take care.
Thanks for calling, Chris. I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Here's something that I thought was really interesting. In the weeks leading up to the invasion of Iraq, an article by Margie Burns on populist.com. In the weeks leading up to the invasion of Iraq, U.S. oil companies quietly doubled their imports of Iraqi oil. According to government figures, U.S. imports of Iraqi crude almost tripled from November 2002, where it was at 9.57 million barrels, to February 2003 at 25.78 million barrels. Indeed, even in March of 2003, while U.S. troops were invading Iraq, U.S. petroleum companies imported 22.9 million barrels. How did they know? How did they know months in advance, back in November of 2002, when George Bush was still saying, well, I haven't made up my mind yet. We haven't decided. You know, before the vote was even taken, on the war amendment. How did the because you figure they've got to preposition tankers, they got to get these things in place, they got to, you know, there's a lot that goes into getting 2 million barrels of oil out of a country, or 20 million barrels, 22 million, 22.9 million barrels out of a country. How do they know? Are these the guys that were in Cheney's secret energy meetings back in 2001 before 9/11? Did they keep in touch with him? Inquiring minds want to know. What has happened to investigative journalism in America? It's unfortunate. I mean, this investigative journalism in America has been gone. Although we're gonna try and keep some of it alive here. 29 minutes after the hour, this is Tom Hartman. You're listening to the radio support group of, by, and for We the People. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The United Nations is trying to make the world aware of the plight that faces the primates that are most like us. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Conservation experts who work for the United Nations say time is running out for the great apes like gorillas, chimps, and orangutans. They say that within 50 years, all species of the great apes will be extinct or very close to it. Reserves have been created in Africa and Southeast Asia to study and protect these animals, but a survey 4 years ago showed that almost all the great ape populations inside those reserves were still getting smaller. That news was particularly disappointing to conservationists like Ian Redman. He says the reserves were supposed to help populations of the animals get bigger.
The piecemeal project-based strategies, which have been the norm for the past 40 or 50 years, were having little effect in the bigger picture.
Redman works with the UN Great Apes Survival Project. It's known by its acronym as GRASP, and it involves two UN agencies, 23 countries, and about 40 nonprofit organizations. Redman says GRASP is organizing a global effort to save the great apes and the forests where they live. At the same time, it will encourage local support for protection in countries where it's needed.
Although GRASP is trying very hard to get the high-level support, high-level support alone is not enough. It has to have grassroots support as well.
The UN project is trying to help countries develop something called Great Ape Tourism. Tourist operations built around the apes would bring money to communities near the reserves and provide an economic alternative to poaching. Redman says Uganda and Rwanda have seen economic benefits from this kind of tourism. He hopes more countries will realize that live, healthy apes are more of a long-term asset than dead ones. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the time is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. One of the folks in our chat room talks about the real rot. The real rot is the cultural meltdown in which everything, even things sacred, have been turned into a commodity and sold to pea brains to make a profit for someone. And, you know, it's, yeah, I wrote about this in a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight at some length. That we, and also in a book called The Prophet's Way, that our ultimately our value systems, our greatest values, the places where you find the greatest meaning have to be in our relationships, in our communities. And the conservative vision of top-down, hierarchical, power-driven social structure is so often so destructive to this, because you have families having to work so hard to pedaling as hard as you can just to stand still. Education Secretary Roderick Page branded the National Education Association, as you know, this was a couple days ago, 2.7 million American public school teachers, a terrorist organization. Education Department spokeswoman insisted that Page is not prone to this type of remark, but Gay Fallon, president of a chapter of the American Federation of Teachers, another teachers union, described Page as, quote, a man who would come up to me and say, how's my favorite labor terrorist today, end quote. Fallon, in an odd attempt to deflect criticism from Page, added that at the time of his previous remarks, quote, the country wasn't as sensitive about the word terrorist, end quote. But Page has done this before. He's gone after teachers. He's gone after the unions, as it were. This is not the first time he has attacked the integrity and morals of public school teachers. Keep in mind, by the way, Rod Page is the guy who was in charge of the Houston School District, where they saw that miracle, where this underperforming school district just suddenly had the best statistics in the country, right up there at the top. And so George W. Bush says, look at this guy. This is a proof of what you can do. We're going to bring this guy to Washington and put him in charge of the Education Department. And then last year it comes out that they had been doing Enron-style accounting, that any kids who had dropped out of school didn't get counted in the statistics, that any kids who got shuttled off to special ed programs didn't get counted in the statistics, that any kids that they exported to other schools didn't get counted in the statistics. And then when they actually looked at a, you know, comparing apples to apples kind of comparison, the Houston school district that Rod Page had been the head of was a disaster. Still is. And here's this guy calling the teachers' unions terrorists. Last April, he said, and I quote, the reason that Christian schools and Christian universities are growing is a result of a strong value system. That's not the case in public schools, where there are so many different kids with different kinds of values, end quote. Here's the guy who's the head of the public school system for America. 47 million students. He says, all things equal, I would prefer to have a child in a school that has a strong appreciation for the values of the Christian community, where a child is taught to have a strong faith. Apparently, Page doesn't think that the Jewish community has strong faith, or that the Islamic Muslim community has strong faith, or even that the pagan and Wiccan and, right across the board, people can have strong faith, and they don't have to fit into a nice little category that Rod Page likes. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Roberta in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Salute to the Paul Revere of the airwaves.
Thank you.
Pirates are coming. The parasites have landed. Take your money out of the banks and the stock markets. Guard it safely.
Yeah. And buy gold.
Yeah, and the good news is, I want to get to that in a minute. But first, I've been wanting to ask you for a long time. Are you aware of the book, The Uncommon Sense?
No, I'm not.
It was put out. I wondered. It's called the real American manifesto written by a real American. And it turns out his name or his pseudonym is William Murray. And he died in the 90s. This was copyrighted in the 90s, published in Bozeman.
And they named a building after him in Oklahoma.
Hmm?
And they named the building after him, the federal building?
William James Murray? I don't know, but it's a very strange book. I think I'm so glad you haven't read it because you don't know about it. It's called On Common Sense, and it's the first half is really fascinating because but it's not documented. Nothing is documented.
Well, that's a problem. Roberta, we don't have time for a book review here. I appreciate the
well,
information.
I just wonder if it was written
What's
by a libertarian or so. I'm awfully glad it wasn't you. But okay, the good news is that the dialectic, thanks to your dialogue, a great catalyst for it all, it's just unfolding. And the material dialectic, you know, what else can they do?
There's a lot more they can do. They can throw this entire nation into absolute and utter poverty,
and they can
declare war on the rest of the world, and they have. And I mean, you know, it can get a whole lot worse before it gets better.
But the synthesis can only happen when it reaches its peak. You know, the Machiavellians have never understood that they always fall behind the eight ball. I mean, Machiavelli himself
died in poverty. He was always trying to get the prince to pay attention to him. It's why he wrote the book. But he was never the insider. He wasn't the Svengali that he's been portrayed in history.
And fascists have never learned that you cannot kill an idea.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is all going to be a good cleansing, but in the meantime, we're going to have to keep talking. So thank you for the dialogue. You're the most stimulating man I've ever talked to.
Well,
and
I just
think before I found you on the dial, I was beginning to wonder, are we in hell?
No, we're not.
Hell? And now I know this dialogue is happening.
We're in the United States of America, Roberta. That's where we are, and we're going to keep it that way.
Well,
thank you for your kind words. I appreciate your call.
Kind mind. I really mean it.
Okay, well, thank you. I salute you, and maybe I don't know how to take a compliment. I don't know, but we're all you know, as Dennis Weaver says, we're all just pushing our wagons across the prairie here. We're just, you know, we're all trying to get to the other side, and it's an important mission. It's the reason that I'm doing this. It's something that we need to continue doing. Yesterday, well, this was actually a couple of days ago, Rod Page quickly issued an apology saying his comment, back to Rod Page, our school teachers terrorists, saying that he had an inappropriate choice of words, but that he also accused, in the middle of an apology, he accuses the National Education Association of, quote, fighting against bringing real rock-solid improvements in the way we educate all our children. In other words, he's saying, it's like a gratuitous swipe. I mean, is there, the No Child Left Behind program? This is an absolute disaster. The main point of No Child Left Behind is to require school districts to buy expensive tests from testing corporations who are politically involved. And I say that as the author of a bunch of books on education and as the president of the board of directors, the unpaid president of the board of directors of a nonprofit private school in New Hampshire, the Hutter School, hutterschool.org, for those of you curious. And this No Child Left Behind is just incredibly destructive. It is just incredibly destructive. And here we go. Now, moving along, the administration has now, for the first time, announced that they're actually going to distribute some of that. Remember when George Bush got up and said, "We're going to all this money to fight AIDS, $15 billion," and took the world stage. Everybody said, "Wow, maybe he is a compassionate." Well, now they've just announced the first $350 million in grants. That's $350 million out of $15 billion that was promised. That's one third of $1 billion. Roughly. And the New York Times in an editorial said, There are worrisome signs that the administration may be making decisions that benefit important constituencies at the expense of fighting AIDS. Now, who might those constituencies be?
Could they be the drug companies?
Well, the new White House Global Coordinator for AIDS is a guy named Randall Tobias. Bet you've never heard of him, have you? That's because you've never worked at Eli Lilly Incorporation. He's the former CEO of Lilly. Since 2000, that company has donated almost $1.5 million in campaign contributions to President Bush and his allies in Congress. Randall Tobias is also described as a longtime friend of former Vice President Dan Quayle. He said this week about the money that the government just released, these $350 million. Well, first of all, the New York Times pointed out that he seems to lean heavily in favor of patented drugs, which can be more expensive. All procurement of drugs for the $15 billion program will have to fit within the parameters of existing and international law for the protection of intellectual property rights, he says. That means if you use branded drugs, two people die for every one saved, according to the AIDS Healthcare Foundation in Los Angeles. You've got a lot of countries around the world that are taking these drugs and making their own versions of them, you know, essentially generic versions of some of these drugs, because apparently some of these drugs that cost $10,000, $20,000 a year for the dosage, if Brazil can make them or India can make them and sell them for $100 a year, that must be the cost to manufacture. I don't have the exact numbers, by the way. I'm not saying that those are the specific numbers, but the disparity is broadly on that order of magnitude. I mean, very significant. Oh, it's at least 2-to-1, according to the AIDS Healthcare Foundation in Los Angeles. So let's say 10,000, 5,000. So Randall Tobias says, our policy will be to buy drugs that are safe and effective at the lowest possible price. Mm-hmm. If those drugs happen to be manufactured by generic companies, fine. Well, that sounds nice. This phrasing, however, left many AIDS activists nervous that the White House is laying the groundwork to use the issue of safety and quality to justify spending money on brand-name drugs produced by the powerful pharmaceutical lobby. However, the generic drugs are already on the World Health Organization's pre-approved list and have been used to combat AIDS for years. These aren't even the kind of black market drugs. These are just generics. Activists are wary about Tobias's ties to the drug industry. During his confirmation, 11 health organizations drew up a letter to express concern with his possible conflicts of interest, saying, quote, he was not required to divest his holdings in Eli Lilly. Wait a minute. This guy still owns stock in Eli. A member of the Pharmaceutical Trade Association that has worked tirelessly to block AIDS victims from access to the lowest cost generic medicines. Tobias has not yet made a decision on the types of drugs the U.S. will purchase to fight AIDS. As the New York Times charged, he, quote, must go out of his way to dispel the fear that he is too steeped in the ways of his old industry, end quote. And, of course, the Global Fund, this is the big global fund. In the new plan, President Bush appropriates a paltry $200 million for the cash-strapped Global Fund and is proposing to allocate only $1 billion to the group over the next 5 years. So, his nose grows longer as people die. It's a tragedy. It's a true tragedy. The making the issue of AIDS political. I mean, this is truly, truly a tragedy. 13 minutes before the hour, this is Tom Hartman, 1-800-TALK-YES. Our number, Ben in Nashville, Tennessee, is on the line. Hey, Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up, Ben?
Well, I just have a quick question, and then I'll just hang up and let you talk about it. You mentioned the generic drugs that get manufactured in foreign countries. And they can
manufacture here, too.
They can manufacture them for pennies on the dollar, compared to what they would manufacture them in the U.S. So I wonder what you would think about, a company in, let's say, China, that can take Microsoft's operating system, burn it to a CD, and then sell it, anywhere else, for a dollar, as opposed to going to Best Buy and buying it for $300 here, because it's kind of a similar a similar problem you'd have.
Well, it's happening. I mean, it's if you're talking about, I'm not sure I get the point of what you're saying, but I mean, you know, bootlegging of software is rampant in Asia. I've walked through the street markets of a half a dozen Asian countries, and you can buy anything there. The packages even look like they're the actual packages, and they're not.
Well, the point is that you have to uphold some sort of intellectual property rights internationally and nationally, and so you can't have drug companies in foreign countries manufacturing the same drugs that, you know, U.S. manufacturer makes and charging, you know, a tenth of the price, because it reduces like the will of the American company to manufacture the drugs if they can't make.
Well, you raise a good point, Ben. And the question is, do the rules of the game change when you're talking about the survival of human beings versus simply commerce? And I think that's the important question that countries like South Africa have been asking. You know, if it is possible, you know, is the copyright law is causing people to die? Is that something that maybe we should look at setting aside? 10 minutes before, thanks for your call, Ben. 10 minutes before the hour, stay tuned. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness Crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary. How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect.
Ah! For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I ain't lived forever, but I've lived enough. And I've learned to be gentle, and I've learned to be tough. I found only two things that last till the end. One is your heroes, the other's your friends.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Thank you, Louise. Engineered by John Lucas and Steph Stryker in Detroit, Michigan. And Brad Walrod selected our music in New York City. Claire in Arizona's on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Claire, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Tom, I majored in astrophysics years ago, and the reason I just started listening to your show yesterday. I've been telling everyone about it because of your article on climate change.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling everyone to listen to it because I think you're incredible. That article much explained it to me.
But
what I wanted to talk about is basically the war in Iraq and possibly Iran and Syria. And the reason I'm calling is because one of my best friends lost her brother in the World Trade Center. And I had traveled a lot, and before the World Trade Center, I'd seen so much hatred directed towards the United States.
Yeah. Claire, I should pre-warn you, we only have about a minute and a half left.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what I wanted to say is the gorilla in the room right now, in terms of the wars in Iraq and Iran and Syria, is Israel. And my husband is Jewish, but what I'm saying is that the neoconservatives who surround the president are allied with the Likud Party of Israel, all of them. Richard Perle wrote in 1996, a clean break for Netanyahu.
Claire, I will acknowledge that is one of the many variables in the pot, but I don't believe that it's the biggest one. I said I'll acknowledge that Israel's lobbying to protect what they perceive to be their security interests is one of the variables in the pot of our intervention in the Middle East, but I don't think it's the biggest one. I think it's oil. I think these guys
But the thing with oil is we won't be able to get oil out of Iraq for a long time, and past that, Israel...
No, we're getting it out right now.
Israel is scheduled to get the pipeline from Kirkuk in northern Iraq to Haifa, which will allow Israel control of 40% of Iraq's oil. This was announced last year.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they will benefit from this, but that's not why we did it.
Have to depend on Russian oil imports, right?
Yeah.
Its economy will stabilize. Why should... But I'm not... I mean, my husband is Jewish. This is just a bottom line.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I'm saying I agree that there is a factor there, but I really don't think it's the biggest one. There's people out there arguing this point. I understand. Claire, thanks for the call. We got to run. It's the end of the show. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thanks, sir, for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place.
From those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals. Welcome.